There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Things have changed, Limits. Things have changed considerably. I just saw a great story on the Steelers by Ray Fittipaldo in the Post-Gazette. I'll tell you about it in a minute. But we have some people who really want to talk Pirates. You know, the opening of the show was very simple. That opportunity is here for Bob Nutting and the Pirates to take the spotlight in our town. And what's more than that, man, do we need them right now. Man, do we need them. And it sure doesn't look like they're going to be there for us when we need them. Because their off season has been pathetic. Their payroll might be lower than last year. They're over under for wins, same as last year. And their lineup we've been through, and it's just so beyond disappointing. It's just crushing, I would think, to anybody who cares about the Pirates how this offseason has gone. Just crushing. So we have a couple calls at 928-9370. Having said that, you know, I remain convinced. Now, I was talking to somebody here in the hallway who takes their kids to games and says, now they're not going to go. And I said, well, I bet you will when they start to get good again, because that's just the way it goes in this town.
It is.
It is. We love a winner, and that's the way it goes, and that's the way it will go again if they win. But, man, I'm having a hard time. Like, if you ask me right now with this lineup, I'd say probably fourth place in the division, if not last, with about 74 wins. I mean, that lineup, what they're counting on is O'Neill Cruz to become a star, which hasn't happened yet, and Key Brian Hayes to have a big bounce back, and Spencer Horwitz to be, respectable. I'd rather have more than respectable. I'd rather have like a first baseman who slugs. You know what's killing this franchise, too, is Henry Davis.
Yeah, no doubt. Him and Andy Rodriguez. Rodriguez being hurt last year.
Yeah. He could be interesting. He could be an option.
I'd play him in right field right now, day one.
Man, I really liked him as a catcher. I liked the way that he led. I liked his throwing arm. Now, he had surgery on that. It was his throwing arm, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
That was really a blow when they lost him. And when you have so little margin for error and for misses, what is going to happen with Henry Davis? To me, he's the story going into spring training. That's the story. The number one overall pick. Not that he's disappointing, but that he looks like an abject all-time bust.
He doesn't look like a big leaguer. Like
right now. Right now he does.
Tony Sanchez was a bad pick, high in the draft, fourth overall. Think about all the guys that they drafted. Brian Bollington with the way to be the first overall pick, top five picks. Henry Davis right now, other than two home runs off of Shohei Ohtani, and no one else has ever done that, is going to go down in the history books as nothing. Blank. Open space.
Right now it looks that way, you know? But I'm still giving him a chance here.
Me too.
I'm still open-minded about Henry Davis. I don't doubt the care factor there. But man, this is just a disaster. I hate to keep using that word, but It's not much different than having the number one overall pick in any other sport. I mean, this is Jamarcus Russell territory.
He should play first base.
especially when you have a guy, normally, you know, all right, in baseball, there's many ways to get around this. You can go out and buy a player, do things like that. But again, when you're the Pirates and there's no other avenues toward a big time bat, at least none that you choose to take, you have to hit on that. And like I said, it's not like Henry Davis showed up and he looks like, all right, you know what? He's going to be a 230 hitter and he's going to hit about 17 home runs. This isn't good. No, he's unplayable. He was literally unplayable last year. And every time he comes to the big leagues, and people talk about how huge of a gulf there is, bigger than ever between AAA and the big leagues, it just, he becomes unplayable. That's the best way I can say it. Limits, let's hit the phones for a couple of those calls. Who do you got?
Let's go to Ken in South Park.
Hey, Ken, what's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Do you play golf? Do you play golf, Ken?
I used to.
All right, I was going to play with you at South Park. I like that course, but forget it. Go ahead with your point.
All right, I called about 3 years ago and said professional sports were bad, you know, Pittsburgh sports. And I said they should have got rid of Blake, Ed, and Lilly 3 years ago, because it would still be mired in mediocrity today anyhow, so it doesn't really matter.
They should have gotten rid of who?
Blake, Shelton, Ed Sullivan, and Lily Tomlin.
Ed Sullivan?
Blake,
thank you,
Shelton?
Okay, I get it now.
Yeah, it was just on names.
That was incredible. Boy, now I'd really like to play golf with that guy.
Thanks, Ken.
Blake Shelton.
Blake Shelton, the
Lily,
singer.
Lily Tomlin.
Yep.
And Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan, the Ed Sullivan Show, yeah.
Next.
All right, here's Rob in West Mifflin to bring the house down.
A little reluctant to say that, but next. Let's go, Rob. What's up?
Everything, all Pirates, man. I'm glad, man. Like, this is overdue, man. These dudes are having one of these things, and I don't know when, man. You know, so it's overdue. Like you said, now's the time you can steal the city back, like at least for a year, maybe two.
That's a better way to phrase it. You phrased it better than me. You can steal the city back here. You're right. And they are Pirates, right?
Yeah, because I'm a Pirate fan. I grew up right there in Allegheny Commons, man. We used to walk down the Three Rivers. And not only that, I mean, you don't want to dump no money into it. Like, it's just crazy right now. Like I said, you can steal the city back because the Penguins and the Steelers aren't doing anything. They don't look like they're going nowhere anytime soon. So I'm just fed up with it, man. I went to one game this year with Paul Skeens when they played the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Mm.
And when they came, I don't know why, they brought the relief pitcher. And then I think it was, what's the guy, left-hander. He crushed somebody right over the fence. It was over.
That was Peterson, the guy they should have signed in the offseason. You went to one of the most gut-wrenching games of the whole year.
I was there too, Rob.
Man, listen. I said, you know what? If they lose this game, because I think it was 4-1, something like that, and they took him out or something like that. I said, if they lose this game, the season is over. I told my cousin that. And look what happened. The whole bottom fell out. So my whole thing is, he had a chance to steal the city back for like a year or two, would have dumped some money into it. I'm tired of hearing this. We got to find some hitters within. How long is he going to keep saying that? They're not hitting the ball. It got to come from within. It got to come from within. It's not coming from within. It's not going to happen. So until they start spending some money, you don't have to go crazy. Two bats. They could have got Bellinger for the outfield, and they could have got a first baseman this year.
Yeah, two bats.
And I would have solidified it with that pitching staff. So I don't know. I'm done with them. I can't do it, Starkey. I'm done, man.
But you know as well as me that we'll both be going back to the ballpark if they're in playoff position in July, right?
I mean, if Skeens is on the mound, he'll probably be the only one I'll go see. But like I did last year, but other than that, I'm not going down there, man. I don't want to see Spencer or whatever. What's his name?
I don't know. I've already forgotten his name, and I never even knew his name.
I don't want to see these dudes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I want to see a team contending and a hunt for a pennant, man. That's what I want to see. One of the probably the best pitcher in baseball right now. That's what I want to see. Like,
they have the best pitcher in baseball. They have the best pitcher in baseball. And what have they done this offseason? Nothing.
My point exactly. He needs to walk in there and say, Bob Nutting, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? If not, get me out of here. Because I know he's a competitor. He came from Air Force.
I know.
Come on, man.
I know.
Make something happen. This is crazy. We're suffering. We're suffering here, man, as Power fans. We deserve better, man. That owner doesn't care. He didn't even show up to Power Fest. If he cared, he would have been there taking all the questions and answers. He don't care. He doesn't care, man. And it's sad. It's sad, man. It's going to be call after call after call saying the same thing. It's the same thing every year. Oh, we're trying to win. He wants to win. That man doesn't want to win. He doesn't want to win. I don't think they get 30, 35, 40 million. Every team gets something every year like that. He doesn't even dump that back into the system. Like, enough is enough, man. I mean, I'm fed up with it. I'm just fed up with it, man.
I can hear that. That was a great soliloquy by Rob and Wes Mifflin. I wasn't going to interrupt. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, Bob and I, Bob Pompiani, that Bob Nutting was there at Pirate Fest. And once a year, you can't just take questions. You send out the human shield known as Travis Williams. I mean, come on, sit down and answer some questions. Is there any other calls on that topic?
Yes. Greg in Youngstown is going to throw some cold water on the situation.
Hello, Greg.
Hey, how's it going? When does MLB get involved in this whole thing? I mean, they got involved with the Oakland A's and let them move and leave and go to Vegas. Do they really think that having these franchises, I know they make money and everything, but these franchises that are not competitive, I mean, this commissioner can step in and try something, at least talk to this guy and say, look, we have to do something for your city, man. I mean, this is getting out of control. It's been out of control since 93. It's not getting better. Every Pirate fan is at the edge, you know, about this team. And who can even help in this situation? The city, the MLB commissioner, or is it just going to be the same old for 30 more years?
Well, choice C might be the one that we're forced to take here. Like what other franchises are you talking about? Other than the Pirates and the A's, maybe. And the A's is beyond disastrous. The Players Union has wondered if the Pirates are doing what they're supposed to be doing as far as spending on players. I don't know what Major League what Rob Manfred could really do. You know, they could try to institute a salary floor, but that's not going to happen. That's less likely than a salary cap. Neither one's going to happen. The baseball is thriving like never before. Record revenues, record media deals, record free agent deals, everything. I mean, attendance, Joe, even attendance is up for the first, what?
I'm from Youngstown, okay? I used to go to Pirate games back in the day. I went to games in the 2000s when they really were horrible. I would never step in that stadium. I'm not that dumb, really. I'm not that dumb. I will not buy apparel. I will not do this garbage. I mean, I'll watch it on TV, I guess. But I'm not going to spend money on these guys. And everybody who goes down that stadium and does it, unless they want to get drunk or sit there and eat or whatever they want to do, it's just giving Bob Nutting more fuel to do this stuff. You just got to stop going to the games. You got to hit these guys in their pocketbook. And if they don't want to do this, then you're going to have the same garbage. I'm not going to the game. I'm not even getting near that stadium.
Here's the crazy thing. Is that if you make like an advancement on the team financially, that the windfall could be just tremendous. It really could, because as I've said repeatedly on this show today, it doesn't take much to get people, their attendance. What was their attendance last year, Limits? It doesn't take much to boost that up, like contention during the summer.
They average 21,000 fans per game.
Total attendance?
1,720,000+.
I mean, they're not that far off, 2 million.
That's 14th out of 15 teams, though, in the NL.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm saying they're not that much off 2 million people going through those gates and more. I think it was what, 25th in baseball. So they're not that far from being in above 20, really. And that's what would happen, by the way, with just a little boost. Put out a little bit more and then you gain a lot more. That's what I say to all that. Anyway, I want to get to this Ray Fittipaldo story. I really do. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You want to get a college football thought? Let's do it now, right now. Because I don't think that many people cared about that game around here last night. It turned into, I guess, I turned it off and went to bed. It was mighty entertaining in the fourth quarter, huh?
It did. Yeah, it became an entertaining game when Ohio State was not able to really effectively run the football. Notre Dame took advantage of opportunities. They did a trick play on a second two-point conversion attempt. When do you ever see a team go for two twice and get it both times? That rarely happens. They did a little flea flicker end around to a wide receiver who threw it to a guy wide open in the back of the end zone. I never thought Ohio State was going to lose that game. I said I was probably going to watch his bits and pieces, and I ended up watching most of the game. I turned it off before Ohio State's celebration. But it makes me think of the redemption story of Ryan Day and the fact that he was going to get fired if this was a 4-team playoff and what the 12-team playoff now represents as like,
yeah,
as like
right
second
about that.
Chances.
Yeah.
Because Ohio State, with that loss to Michigan, wouldn't have sniffed the playoffs.
How about the ACC right now? Talking about changing its conference championship game. People are wondering around college football, what is the point, other than money, of these conference championship games, especially when a team like Notre Dame doesn't have to risk it. Other teams may not have to risk it. Other teams are risking everything by playing in the game. It doesn't seem like it's worth it anymore. It just doesn't seem like it matters. They're talking about having their regular season champ, get a bye into the playoff and then have the 2 and 3 teams play in the conference championship.
I don't like that.
You want to talk, how could anybody like that? It's preposterous.
It's just ridiculous. It is.
Just get rid of the conference championship.
What do you mean
games?
That the conference championship games doesn't matter anything and that you could be significantly hurt by it? Look at what happened with SMU and Clemson. Clemson got in because of the conference championship game, and SMU still ended up getting into the playoffs.
They chose SMU because they know on that committee that if they chose Alabama over SMU.
Here we go with Alabama again.
If they chose Alabama over SMU, they completely defeat any meaning behind the conference championship games.
And maybe it's important that SMU went undefeated in their conference. Maybe that's supposed to matter.
Yeah, maybe it should. So let them
go. Yeah, I think it should.
Give them a bye then into, did they win the regular season championship?
Yes.
Then give them a bye based on that. I don't even remember who played in the conference championship games. Nobody cares. They don't matter anymore. We have a 12-team playoff. What are we playing conference championship games for other than the TV
money?
Well,
right now you get one of the top four seeds if you win a conference championship.
Great. Yeah, the seedings worked out real well. All the teams that got byes, or three of the four, were decided underdogs in the second round. The bracket was an all-time college sports joke, that bracket.
Well, I'm not going to dispute that, but that's why conference championships have taken to a new height, because of the fact that you can get a first-round bye, and an Arizona State can be like a 3 seed. Now, the matchups did not play out well for those teams. Like, Boise State should not be a 3 or a 4. They should be more like a 10 and have to go on the road somewhere.
It's too many games. The games become meaningless in the end. The regular season becomes meaningless. If
the regular season was meaningless, we just put Alabama in. Go ahead, just because your record doesn't matter, your roster's good, and we thought your recruiting was great. If that's what we're saying, the regular season doesn't matter.
So you're a big fan of the conference championship games?
I like conference championships,
the conference themselves aren't.
So the ACC is the only one disputing this. What is the Big Ten and the SEC saying about their conference championship
games? You'll see plenty of stuff coming out about conference championship games. We talked about Penn State.
Well, let's see it.
We talked about Penn State maybe putting a number 1 seed at risk because of a ridiculous conference championship game.
I didn't find it ridiculous. You could have won your way to a number 1 seed. I'm not going to dispute the number 1 potential seed.
They had everything to risk when Notre Dame doesn't have to risk anything.
And Notre Dame not playing in a conference championship game. Texas and Penn State both lost their conference championship games and were still ranked higher than Notre Dame because the committee values going to a conference championship game and playing in it.
Yeah, they better damn well value it.
So they valued it more than Notre Dame in no conference.
Because of the money.
Because of the money. So that's why they put them in there, despite them being
better teams. That's why they're still going to play them. That's why they're still going to play these conference championship games.
There's no doubt about that.
I don't see much of another reason to play them. We have a 12-team playoff. What are we doing? They're talking. There's a major conference talking about having their 2 and 3 teams play in their conference championship game. That's not an issue
well,
to
that,
you?
That's stupid. It's just preposterous from the ACC. But I don't see the conferences that are deemed relevant, like the Big Ten and the SEC, saying that. This is the ACC where teams like Clemson and Florida State are threatening to leave and have been trying to leave for years with so much uncertainty in that conference in football.
Let's see about the big game conference championship or the Big Ten conference championship. I wonder what they're going to say about that moving forward as well, because Penn State was already. What didn't James Franklin question it going in? Who was the
no,
major?
No, James Franklin was the one that said
coach.
He loved the conference championship.
The SEC coach did. I forget which one it was, but you had people, I think it was, what's his name? The loudmouth, Lane Kiffin, right?
Lane Kiffin's not even, he never sniffed the conference championship game this year. He's just a figurehead for the SEC that loves to put out any SEC propaganda like him and Paul Feinbaum possible.
You're a hopeless Big Ten fan.
And no,
you hate the SEC.
I don't hate the SEC at all.
No, that last statement sure didn't reveal any hatred
well,
of it.
Well, I do think that they're them trying to shove the SEC down our throats this year when clearly the Big Ten was a better conference and Notre Dame was better than most teams in the SEC as well. For their Alabama bias trying to get them in, I thought was just hilarious.
Well, that's what happens when I don't want to get into that whole conversation about schedules.
I like Kiffin. Like, I do. He's entertaining. But he took it a little bit too far trying to defend his glorious SEC. He's a funny guy. But, man, there were some points where, like, this team belongs in, this team belongs in. The regular season is supposed to matter when going into the playoffs and factoring into the playoffs. Then why even play a regular season then? Like, saying Alabama should have been in, South Carolina shouldn't get in. No, Indiana played who they played, they beat who they beat, and they were competitive against who ended up being the national champions in Ohio State on the road.
They were competitive
they to get
at
in.
Ohio State on the road? Did you watch the game?
I watched the game, yeah. There were
That's
points
a competitive
where they weren't.
Football game
That's
for
a
you?
Team that won the national championship and
oh,
beat
okay.
everybody in the
all
playoffs
right.
by double digits.
They played two teams all season and got boat raced twice. Their schedule was a joke. And plus, if you love the regular season so much, getting rid of the conference champions and conference championships would put all the onus on the
regular
season.
The regular season is a joke. The Big Ten, who's won the last two national championships, Michigan and Ohio State.
I thought you just said the regular season, you want to put more emphasis on it.
I do want to put more emphasis on the regular season. What did I say to dispute that?
Well, then don't have conference champions. Don't have conference championship games.
That doesn't make sense.
Conference championship games, I said.
I still think there's
put
a heightened
all the
value
onus on the regular
to
season.
Winning a conference.
You just said that a football game in which Penn State won 38-15 was a competitive game.
No, I said
yes. You did
Ohio,
say that.
I said the
yes,
Ohio State.
Yes, you did say that.
What game are you talking about?
You said
about?
They were competitive at Ohio State. They lost 38-15 and had 153 yards of total offense.
You said
and
Penn
68
State. Did
yard-
you mean Indiana?
You meant Indiana.
I did. You said Penn State. Did you mean Penn State or Indiana? I'm confused.
Indiana
by what you
at
said.
Ohio State.
Okay, you said
is
Penn
what I'm
State
talking
at Ohio
about.
State.
Is okay. that what you were talking about?
I was talking about Indiana, correct.
Right. Indiana was competitive at Ohio State in a 38-15 loss where they had 150 yards of
offense. They weren't in the fourth
offense.
Quarter, no.
They weren't competitive at all. It was 28-7 in the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah, the team that ended up being a buzzsaw and blow out everybody other than Michigan and the game that's a rivalry. I understand that. And the Oregon game was a track meet who they ended up crushing in the Rose Bowl. It wasn't even close.
Yeah. That wasn't a competitive game to me, and neither was the only other time they played a good team, which was Notre Dame. They got boat raced. So, I don't know. You want to have conference championship games, you enjoy them.
I will.
You're going to see more problems year after year. SMU had to sweat it out to get in. And they put everything at risk meaninglessly in a conference championship game. We'll see moving forward. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Ray Fittipaldo with a really interesting story just up at PostGazette.com. Are the Steelers behind the NFL curve on fourth down analytics? There's a lot here, but the bottom line is, for a guy who says he doesn't live in his fears and we play to win and all the platitudes Tomlin puts out, the Steelers really don't do that. Not consistently, and certainly not as often as consistently as the four teams left. And as Ray points out, these four teams have been elite on fourth downs. Commanders set an NFL record by converting 87% of their fourth down conversions. Bills at 76, Eagles 72, Lions 69%, and Chiefs 69%. I know the Lions are done, but they were in there and had the best record in the league, right, with the Chiefs. All these teams are doing that these days, and here's more to the point, whether it's third and one or fourth and one. I'm going off of Ray's story here, like away from Ray's story for a second. It is automatic with Josh Allen. It's automatic with Jalen Hurts, the tush push. It seems to be automatic in Washington no matter what they do on fourth down. If Justin Fields is going to be your guy next year, this needs to be an advantage for you, that they need to find a way on short yardage to almost always get it and have it be automatic and go for it on fourth downs all over the place. The fact that Tomlin has cowered, and that's not a play on Bill Cowher's name, at some of the most inopportune times is just mind-boggling. It's just, wait, I spot this is supposed to be the guy that never lives in his fears. He was fourth in inches, literal inches, from his 29, as Ray points out, trailing 7-0 in Baltimore, and he put out his punter. That's not the way it should be these days. Are you living in your fears or not? With Josh Allen, that's automatic. Washington definitely goes for it there. Detroit probably goes for it. Philly goes for it, and they get it easily. And when you have a 230-pound athlete at quarterback like Justin Fields, a really good center in Zach Frazier, two pretty good road-grading guards. I don't know about the pass blocking for those guys, but coming back with McCormick and presumably Seumalo, and then somebody pushing from behind, that it shouldn't even be a thought. Like, if you're at your 11-yard line on fourth and inches, you should be going for it. I honestly believe that. Possessions are like gold. Look at the other night, the Ravens-Bills game. Every possession is a block of gold. Tomlin, as Ray writes, likes to refer to these third and fourth downs as weighty downs, and the Steelers, he reports, were one of the worst teams in the league at converting fourth downs at only 39%. Remember the percents I gave for the other ones on fourth down, 87%. For Washington. They have a great quarterback who's doing that. The league rate for fourth and one is 65%. And not only did the Steelers not make enough of them or attempt enough of them, but other teams were great against them. The Steelers went for it on fourth down 10 years ago, 10 times, Ray reports. This year they went for it on fourth down only 18 times. When the Browns beat the Steelers in the pony pass game in Cleveland in late November, they were 4-for-4 on fourth downs. The Steelers were 1-for-3 in that game on fourth downs. And then we can talk about the times over the years when Mr. No Fears was living in his fears. Twice in Indy in the last 2 years, he's punted from Indy territory. 2 years ago, he was down a couple touchdowns. He punted from like the Indy 39. We could talk about the playoff game against the Browns in 2020 when the Steelers actually had the makings of a miraculous comeback. They were down 28-0. They made it 35-23 late in the third quarter, I think it was. They're only down 12 with the ball. And those are the Browns on the other side. He was at his own 39 on fourth and one. They took a delay of game intentionally and punted. This is part of why people think that the Steelers offense in general is stuck in the Stone Age. It is. There's a good reason for that. It is. During their 5-game losing streak, Ray reports they were 0-for-5 on fourth downs. And guess what opposing offenses did against them this year on fourth down? 15-for-21. Wow. 15-for-21. Well, the Steelers were going at 39%. So if you're going to come back to me anyway with Justin Fields next year, that has to be part of your new arsenal. Like, I watch every Bills game. When they get to a third and two, fourth and one, third and one, whatever, it's like they're advancing. They're going to get a first down. Same with the Eagles. It's automatic, and there's no reason it shouldn't be automatic for the Steelers next year if that guy's your quarterback. Accentuate his strengths. Accentuate his size and literal strength and what you have on your offensive line, which I think interior of your line, you have three pretty big guys who should be able to mush people forward. And then you have somebody, you know, pushing from behind. We see it all the time. I'm not breaking news here. We all watch football all the time. And so Tomlin has to, even though he puts out the impression that he's a swashbuckler who never lives in his fears, he does it very often. It was so funny to me that in the Ravens playoff game, like their big statement was to take the ball with the opening toss. That's going to be the theme of this game. We're stepping into the lion's den and we're not going to be afraid. No, sir, not us. So you're 4th and 6 inches at your 29, already trailing? You give the ball back to that guy? Back to Lamar? Instead of bringing in Justin Fields and having him lean forward behind your really good center? Just another thing that just makes no sense. They were horrible on first down. They were horrible on fourth down. Limits that only leaves two downs left.
Third and fourth.
Unless I've been misinformed here.
What if we had a magical fifth down as a part of the
they
new
might
NFL
need that.
Rules with an 18th game?
I think it was Mike DeFabo who said they were the worst first down team in the league.
Well, they ran it how many times? Maybe 75% of the time. I don't know the exact number.
So, and this was maybe with a game left. They were the worst first down team, and they were one of the worst fourth down teams. That only leaves second and third down. And if you're the worst first down team, then you're playing from behind the eight ball all the time. Maybe that's why their offense stunk, especially against good teams. I think against all the playoff teams they played, they averaged less than 16 points a game. That's a number that got Matt Canada fired in the middle of a season. So, man, to have hope for this offense moving forward is a tough thing to do. When you know that it's Tomlin's overall philosophy and Artie Smith's scheme, it's very hard to imagine good things. But one thing they should do, if it's Justin Fields, is be very, very daring on fourth down especially. But even if you're third and two, like I didn't understand in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, Limits, when it was Eagles-Chiefs, if I'm third and three, I'm going tush-push twice in a row.
Right.
Every time. It's the Super Bowl. Like, I don't want to subject my quarterback to a million of those in the regular season. But if I'm the Steelers, that's the game I'm playing next year. Is stay on schedule and then try to get those short yardages. And even if it's fourth down, play to Justin Fields' strengths. I don't understand why it wouldn't work. Do you?
Even something like this. Two texters just pointed out, why not have Darnell Washington line up and take the snap and just either push the quarterback forward or they can hand it off to him. I would do something more like what the Ravens did with Mark Andrews.
Yeah, you could do that.
And just let him take the snap and just push ahead. Even if it's not with Justin Fields. If you want a bigger body guy to take the snap, like, could you imagine Darnell Washington moving? You probably get it every single time on third down, third and one, fourth and one.
Like the Ravens do with Andrews.
But they should with Fields out of the option. His legs are just too dynamic not to.
I mean, I understand Baltimore every once in a while wants to spare Lamar some hits because he takes a lot of them. But Jalen Hurts is 6'1", 233. How much does Lamar weigh? Can you look that up? Justin Fields is 6'3", Limits. 230 pounds. Come on, walk him onto the field and go be the physical Steelers and get third and fourth and one.
Lamar is 6'2", 215.
All right, so he's not that small.
Same size as Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, right.
Except Daniels is 6'4", a little bit taller, but weight-wise. Yeah.
Although he does give up 15 pounds or so, Lamar does, to the likes of Fields and Hurts. It's just, and Allen especially, it should just be automatic. It's so annoying. Everything's annoying with the Steelers right now. Even fourth downs. Josh Allen is 6'5", 237. He's a bull. What did Jerome Bettis play at, for God's sakes? What was Jerome Bettis? Keep that. Keep those numbers in mind. 6'5", 237. Jerome Bettis was 5'11", 252. So Josh Allen is half a foot taller than Jerome and probably only 12 to 15 pounds lighter. My God, he's practically Jerome Bettis.
I didn't realize he was only 5'11".
Jerome was one of the most unique players to me in the history of the league.
No, he was a bowling ball. Ball running people over.
With like quick dancer's feet for a guy who's 250. Just a unique guy. But that was a great story by Ray, and it's just there's no excuse for the Steelers not to be able to convert. That's number one. I mean, that's just inexcusable to be at 39% on fourth downs. That's inexcusable to be such a bad fourth yardage team. And then, I don't know what's worse, to give up 15 of 21 on defense. I think the major flaw in Mike Tomlin's overall overarching philosophy for this organization is that his defense, his precious, high-priced defense over the years has failed to live up to its billing because everything he does is based off of that.
In winning on possession downs, which the data is telling you, Mike, you're not doing.
Right.
So something has to change. And that's why I think they got to invest significantly on the offensive side of the ball.
It just doesn't work. It doesn't work with a defense that never shows up in the playoffs, that set an NFL record by giving up 40 points 3 years in a row in playoff games, that can't get off the field on fourth down, that gets bludgeoned at the end of games in the run game. Like, his overall defensive numbers are impressive. What the Steelers do through their stability and their coaching and everything else that is Steeler related, what that is netting them these days is they have a major advantage over bad teams and mediocre teams. And they pound those teams that are constantly in flux. But it's not getting them anywhere. All it's gotten them is a permanent address in a neighborhood called high-end mediocrity. So they beat on all these bad teams like they did this year. And then when it comes to actually, like, who are we? What are we? You're an imposter at playoff time. And your overarching philosophy of we're going to build on defense and then create an offense that's grinding, doesn't commit turnovers, etc. It doesn't work because, first of all, the defensive part doesn't work. They're not good enough. They're a disappointment, a chronic disappointment. And that's Tomlin's baby, is the defense.